Open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I don't know if any of you knew, but this morning something happened with the phone when we were recording it. And every time I'd step out in front of the pulpit, something with the phone put a black hat and glasses on. And so the whole time I was preaching out there, I look, kind of look like a Blues Brothers or something like that. And that's the way it was recorded. And so now, you got to have a sense of humor, I guess. So, but if you want to know what it looks like to see my son, he'll gladly show you what his dad looked like. Romans chapter 14. Look, if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us not therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, again, for the opportunity to preach your word. And Lord, I pray as we look at these verses tonight, Lord, I pray that all of us will take a look at ourselves and see, Lord, if we're guilty of judging others when we should not be judging others. And Lord, I just pray, help us to learn tonight, Lord, from your word, and help us to do what your word tells us to do. So many, Lord, especially this chapter in the Bible, so many people just kind of write it off as almost not even being there, but it is. So help us to learn from it, Lord, and help us to believe it, and help us to do what it tells us to do. Lord, I also ask tonight, if somebody isn't saved tonight, I pray that they'll be saved, that they'll receive Jesus Christ for the very first time. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are still in the book of Romans. We're studying through the book of Romans, and we've only got a couple more chapters to go after tonight. But when we look here at Romans chapter 14, what we really see are two people or two types of people that are on different levels of spiritual maturity. All Christians are at different levels. You know, we don't always like to think of it that way. Most Christians like to think of themselves as being on a higher level of spiritual maturity than others. But the truth of the matter is all of us are pretty much the same. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? What I'm trying to say is you have your area that you're strong in, and I have my area I'm strong in, and you may have some areas that you're weak in, and I have some areas that I'm weak in. Now, a person that just gets saved, he's weak in all areas. Amen? I mean, he hasn't grown any. But if you've been saved for a while, you may be more mature in some areas than you are in others, and other Christians will be more mature in their areas. But the problem is so many Christians today decide they're going to judge other Christians because the area that they feel that they're strong in, they look at somebody else and they judge them for being weak in that area. And here's the problem. We have such a pride problem that when we even think about that we may be weak in an area, it makes us angry and it makes us want to lash out. You see, you say, I just don't believe that. Oh, really? Okay, then I tell you what to do. Walk up, don't do it to somebody in here, okay? But walk up to somebody and just say, hey, you know what? I think you're weak in the faith in this area. See what the response is. We all have this pride problem. We don't like to think of ourselves being weak in the faith. Now, the reason I know that to be true is that every Christmas and every Easter, there are Christians that will come out and say, you know, you shouldn't celebrate Easter or the Resurrection Sunday. You shouldn't celebrate Christmas. And they'll say, well, where in the Bible does it tell you to celebrate Christmas? Where in the Bible does it tell you to celebrate a Resurrection Sunday? Well, the problem is the Bible doesn't say to do it or not to do it. So what are you to do? You're to do what Romans chapter 14 tells you to do. You say, what is Romans 14 all about? Romans 14 is all about, it's a chapter that covers, you know, I hate to use the word gray area because really there are no gray areas. But you know, how many of you understand that the Bible, there are some things the Bible says that are just wrong, that are sins. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Listen, if the Bible says it's wrong, argument over. Amen? If it's wrong, if God says it's a sin, you can't run to Romans 14 and use it. You can't argue it. Once God says it's a sin, it is a sin. End of discussion. Okay, so if a person today says, well, you know, I feel like I'm a Christian and, you know, the Bible says I can do all things, so I can go out and rob a bank. No, you can't, because the Bible says that's wrong, okay? But what about those subjects that the Bible never speaks about, where the Bible never says it's wrong or the Bible never says it's right? That is where Christians tend to argue a lot. That's where Christians tend to look at each other and judge each other a lot. And here's the problem I see. A lot of Christians want everybody else to be on their level of maturity. I'll give you an example. If I think that eating one of those donuts in there is wrong, which by the way, I don't think that at all. I think it's absolutely perfect to eat one of those things. But if I think that eating one of those donuts there is wrong, and you think that it's right to eat it, then what normally happens is as a Christian, if I'm a normal everyday Christian, then I'm going to judge you for not thinking it's wrong just like me. In other words, you are supposed to think like me on this thing. In other words, wherever you're at spiritually, obviously I'm more mature than you because I think that eating that donut is wrong. And therefore, if you eat it, then you're just a spiritual baby. Now, that's the way Christians look at it. At the same time, you have the other person that says, I think they eat those donuts are the greatest, that's the closest thing to being in heaven, so I'm going to go eat them. And then a person over there looks at me and says, you know what, you're not very spiritually mature because you're spiritually mature, you wouldn't touch one of those things. And then they get mad at me because I think it's okay, and I get mad at you because you don't think it's okay. And back and forth it goes. Here's the catch. The Bible doesn't say if it's wrong or right to eat one of those donuts. Amen? It doesn't say. So what are we to do? How are we to handle these things? Well, when you read Romans chapter 14 here, what you see is basically Paul teaching about how people judge one another. He's saying that they shouldn't judge one another in these areas. And then he gives us basically instructions on how we are to handle these things. And now some people say, well, I think that their conscience should be your guide. That's just bad, you know, advice there. Your conscience should never be your guide because, you know, the Bible gives clear instructions on some things and your conscience is never to be your guide because basically your conscience is regulated by what you believe. And so if you're trying to use your conscience, and not only that, but the Bible says that our hearts are desperately wicked. Okay, so if you say, well, just follow your heart, honey, and do whatever, bad advice, okay? But what are we to do? Well, that's what Romans chapter 14 is all about here. It's all about teaching us what we are to do when the question arises, should I do this or should I not do this? Is it right according to the Bible? Is it not right according to the Bible? And one person says it's right and the other person says it's not right. Then Romans 14 comes into mind. Now, before we look at Romans 14 tonight, I want to point out that there are some other chapters and verses that we need to keep in mind while we're looking at Romans chapter 14. Now, one of them, hold your place where you're at, but one of those chapters is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, turn over to Romans 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to show you something that kind of goes along with Romans 14, but it's something to keep in mind because if it ever comes down and you say, well, I just don't know if it's right or wrong for me to do this, then you need to look at Romans 14, but you also need to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and some other verses. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look if you were at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Paul says this, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, what does that mean when he says all things are lawful? Well, we know that, like I said, there are the Ten Commandments. I mean, we'd be breaking the law. So what's he talking about? What he's saying is in the sense of you staying saved, there is nothing, folks, that you could possibly do to lose your salvation. Nothing. And so what he's saying is all things are lawful unto me. I'm not going to lose my salvation regardless of what I do. However, not all things are expedient. Not all things edify. In other words, the things that Paul says, the things that I can do, I can go out and do anything I want to do. I have perfect liberty in Christ. I can do those things. But not all those things are going to help my spiritual growth, and not all those things are going to help your spiritual growth. Not all those things are good for me. Some of them are dangerous. Some of them, I mean, if we go out and we do something that's a known sin, we're not going to lose our salvation if we go out and sin and we do something that God tells us not to do. You're not going to lose it. But now, if you don't confess it, then the Lord will chasten you for it. And if you break the law bad enough, then you go to jail for it too. Amen? So you have those things considered, but when it comes to the sense of you losing your salvation, you can do nothing to lose your salvation. So that's what he's talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when he says, all things are lawful for me. Now, turn if you would just a few chapters back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is kind of the sister passage to Romans chapter 14, because really it's kind of talking about the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we got to keep this in mind too when we're looking at Romans chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look if you would at verse 1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. But if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Great verse to memorize right there. Just when you think that you know something, you don't know anything. Okay. Verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. In other words, every man doesn't understand that. For some with conscience of idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy conscience shall the weak, and through thy conscience shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And what he's saying is this. He's saying that there were some Christians here that recognized that they had liberty in Christ to eat meat because it was just meat that God provided. And they knew that eating that meat had nothing to do with their Christian walk, and they knew that there's only one God, and they knew that even though some people may have offered that meat to idols, they were just offering them to a piece of wood, and there was nothing to it. But at the same time, you had other people over there on the other side that said, wait a second, you shouldn't be eating that meat because those people there used it wrong and they offered it to idols. And so again, you had, just like in Romans chapter 14, you kind of have one side looking the other and judging them, and this side looking at these people and judging them. And so what does it do? It tells us that the person who says it's okay to eat the meat, go ahead and eat it. Just don't eat it in front of the weaker brother, because you may be a stumbling block to him, because he may look at you and say, well, I guess if he can eat it, I guess it's okay. And what is he going to do? He's going to sit down and eat that meat when deep down he has a conviction that he shouldn't. Okay? And therefore, the person eating the meat has become the stumbling block. But at the same time, the one here who says it's wrong to eat meat shouldn't be judging the brother for eating it. In other words, the judging has to stop when it comes to things that aren't specifically spoken of in Scripture. So Paul was faced with this problem in Corinth. He was faced with this problem in the Church of Rome. He was faced with this problem in many other churches. Nearly every church had this problem back in the time of Paul, and a lot of churches have the same problem today of brothers, of Christians judging each other. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you tonight that there aren't some things that we should judge. We should. But you should use righteous judgment. And listen, it's the worst thing that I have seen, honestly, folks, the worst thing I've seen amongst independent Baptists is people try to push their convictions on others. Hey, listen, if the Bible says something's right or something's wrong, then you push away. I mean, tell it like it is, because that's the Scriptures, that's God talking. But the problem is we have a lot of people today that say, you know, I feel this is wrong, so therefore it is wrong. That's a problem. Why? Because just because you feel it's wrong doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It means it's wrong to you unless the Bible says it's wrong. And when a person today says, I think this is wrong, and I just have a conviction about this, and therefore you shouldn't do it, at that point, he's trying to force his convictions on other people. And that's wrong to do. Why? Because God didn't give those other people convictions. He gave you those convictions. Why? Because those other people could handle doing it, but you can't handle doing it. And that's where the problem lies. If you read the book of Galatians, it talked about people who were spying out their liberty and wanted to take away their liberty. Why? Because they looked at it and said, what those people are doing is wrong, when the Bible never says it was wrong. And so that's the way a lot of Christians are today. So we have liberty in Christ. And when the Bible says something, if the Bible doesn't speak on a subject, never says it's right or wrong, the worst thing that we can do is try to teach it as if the Bible says it, because then we're adding to Scripture. Now, if you look back at Romans chapter 14, verse 1, we're going to look about how really this, what was going on here. And Paul's addressing this problem. Obviously, they had Christians judging each other there in the Church of Rome. And so he starts off in verse 1 and he says this. It says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So you have one guy over here who thinks that he can eat everything, but you have this guy over here that says, you know what, I should be a vegetarian. How many of you ever met somebody that said, you know, it's just more scriptural to be a vegetarian? Have you ever met somebody like that? I have. I think they're, you know, I pray for them. I do. I pray for them. I don't have anything against them. I just don't understand how they can live like that. Amen? I mean, I like the meat. I do. And I'm not against vegetables, but I'm not going to be a vegetarian. But it says here, and by the way, I won't press too much here that it says the one who is weak eateth herbs. I'm not going to press that too much there, okay? But here's what you have a person here who says, you know, I think that you can eat meat, and the other person says, no, I think you need to eat herbs. And so you have these people that are judging each other. Okay, now look at verse 3. He says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So in other words, the Bible doesn't say to eat, you know, that you should eat meat or shouldn't eat meat. The Bible says as long as you give thanks for it, you can eat anything you want. So here you have a person that says, you know, that it's okay to eat meat and I'm going to eat all the meat I want to. And here's a person that's over here that says that I'm going to eat the herbs and I'm not going to eat that meat. And he says here, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So in other words, if you think it's okay to eat a steak, don't look at the person over here that says, hey, listen, I believe you should just, you see carrots and celery. Don't look at them and despise them for not eating the meat. It's God who gave them that conviction. They've got to live according to that conviction. But then again, if you believe that the only thing you should eat is celery and carrots, don't look at the person over here eating the meat and judge him for eating the meat. How many of you follow me on this? I mean, he's laying it out here. Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? See, they were judging each other. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. What he's saying is this. Why are you judging others? Do you know whose job it is to judge us? It's the Lord's. Now listen, again, if somebody's not living right, we have, specifically in the Word of God, they're doing something that's not scriptural. They're doing something that's destroying their testimony. It's okay for you to go up there and to challenge that person and say, hey, brother, you need to get straight. The Bible says that you shouldn't be doing this, and there it is. See, you're not supposed to be doing that. We are obligated to do that. We should do that. And by the way, when somebody comes up, because we're all going to mess up from time to time, and if somebody comes up and points out that there's something you're doing that's not scriptural, don't be a jerk. I'm just going to tell you that. Because if it says it in the Bible and you're doing it, well, that's pretty much the end of the discussion there, now, isn't it? And so what I'm saying is, don't get mad at somebody when they point something out in Scripture. It's there to help you, okay? But if it's not mentioned in Scripture, that's where the judging has to stop. Why? Because you don't know the convictions, all the convictions I have. And I don't know all the convictions you have. But I know who knows all the convictions that all of us have, because he's the one who gave us those convictions. And that's the Lord. Amen? And that's reading it says, who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth and falleth. Look at verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. In other words, he's the one that gives us our convictions. He's the one that tells us what's right and wrong. And when we judge other people, we're taking a right that belongs to Jesus Christ alone. Look at verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. At the end of the day, folks, you may think, you may have a conviction over something that I don't have a conviction over. But we need to remember that you're going to stand before the Lord on what you did with your convictions and the life that you lived, and I'm going to stand before the Lord on what I did with my convictions and what a life I live. What I'm trying to say is this, we all have our own race to run. Too many people today are trying to run somebody else's race. Too many people today want other people to have the exact same convictions as them and then run their race. Hey, listen, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't know if we're all going to be standing there, but I do know that God will be judging me when it comes time for me to be judged. And then he's going to judge you. And listen, I have to answer him for what I did with what the convictions God gave me. You have to answer to God what you did with the convictions that God gave you. And we're all going to have our time at the judgment seat. Now, I will tell you this. Before you decide to do anything, you better remember that verse right there that says, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You better remember it. Before you make a decision to do anything, before you say, you know what, I think it's okay that I do that, you better think about that. Because you'll give an account to God. All right? Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Again, you see this a lot during Christmas, a lot during Easter, where people say that, you know, we shouldn't celebrate this day. But it tells you right there that some people esteem some days higher than others. I personally like Christmas. I like celebrating Christmas. I like celebrating the Resurrection Sunday. I like those things. But there are Christians today who don't esteem it. They esteem it every day the same. To them, Christmas means nothing. Okay, that's fine. Then I'll make sure that I'll hide my Christmas tree when you come in, or I'll turn down the Christmas music or whatever, blow out the Christmas candle. Then it says this, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind, talking about his convictions. Why? Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Well, what's he saying? He's saying that anything that you decide to eat, whether it be meat or herbs, as long as you give thanks to God over it, then eat it. It's right there. You look over in Acts 10, it'll tell you the same thing. As long as you give thanks to God for it, go ahead and eat it. Bottom line is as long as we're glorifying God in our own mind, according to our own conscience, according to our own convictions, there's nothing unlawful. You mean to say that you can go out and kill somebody, Pastor, as long as you believe it glorifies God? No, because something that God already says a sin will never glorify him if you do it, ever. You never have the liberty to do wrong, folks. How many of you know that today, I think I was watching the news here a couple nights ago, and in some city, while they were protesting, they were lighting the American flag on fire. Now, I got to tell you, that kind of burns me up a little bit. I can't handle that very well. But, and then you see people looting. Listen, we do have freedoms in this country. And we do have freedoms to go out and protest to a point peaceful. But we do not have the liberty to do wrong. We do not have the liberty to go out there and break into stores and steal stuff. We don't have, that's wrong to do that. You say, we live in a free country. That doesn't mean you can go out and do anything that you want. It means that you have liberty and we have responsibility with that liberty. And you never have liberty to do wrong. It's the same way when it comes to a Christian. As a Christian, listen, Paul already said, nothing is unlawful for me. All things are lawful to me, is what Paul said. But that doesn't mean that Paul is going to say, because everything's lawful for me, I'm going to go out and I'm going to rob a bank. That's not what he's saying. Why? Because you never have the liberty to do wrong. There's a responsibility that comes there. And so when the Bible says things like pride and murder and stealing, adultery and covetous and so on, the Bible makes it very clear that those things are wrong. In fact, Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, you don't have the right to use the liberty that God gave you to go out and do something he already said is a sin in that Bible. You don't have a right to do that. You don't have the liberty to do that. Okay? So we are not to use liberty we have in Christ to sin. A lot of people do that. We're not to use liberty wrong. However, it's not scripturally wrong. If you feel that it's wrong, that is a conviction. That is a conviction. And so we're given specific things what to do with these convictions. Now look back at verse 2. It says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So who's doing the judging? Well, you have the one with the conviction and the one without the conviction are both doing the judging. And the one with conviction is doing the judging, and he's saying that you shouldn't eat it, and the other person, he's judging it, and he's saying that you're weak in the faith, and you should get stronger if you do eat the meat. But he says in verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Stop judging. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Stop judging one another. If you have a conviction over something, it's okay to have a conviction over it. If you think, hey, listen, I have a conviction that... How many of you, remember I told you this morning that when I stepped out here, I had on the black hat and the glasses when I was preaching? Well, what if I had a conviction? What if I had a conviction that I were to preach like that all the time? Now, it'd be pretty weird, wouldn't it? You probably wouldn't want me to be your pastor then. But does the Bible tell me that I can't preach in a hat and glasses? Well, we can sit there and discuss it. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach in hat and glasses, okay? But what I am saying is this, is sometimes, I'll give you an example. I think when you get behind the pulpit, here at this church, I do require people to wear a tie or a bolo or something. Yeah, I do require that. But I'll admit that the Bible never says specifically that you are supposed to wear a tie when you preach. I'll admit that. Now, I do think that a person should dress the best he possibly could if he's representing the Lord when he's behind the pulpit. Absolutely. But that's a conviction that I have. You know, I have other convictions. You may have some convictions tonight. I will say that I've met people that you know, how many of you understand that there are some people that are a whole lot more stricter in their convictions than other people are? And some other people are a whole lot more not as strict in their convictions. But yet people are always judging one another. You know what that Bible tells us to do? It says not to judge anymore. In other words, you are to let those people have their own convictions if they have it, and you are to be quiet about it. If they have a conviction over something, if they have a conviction, they say, you know what, I believe that wearing Nike tennis shoes is of the devil. If that's what you believe, then don't wear them. Amen? Just don't wear them. But that doesn't mean that I'm supposed to hate you for not wearing the things. That doesn't mean that I walk up and say, hey man, you're weird with your convictions. That's none of my business. That's a conviction that the Holy Spirit gave you. The worst thing you could do is wear the stinking Nikes. I shouldn't say stinking Nikes. The worst thing you should do is wear the Nikes, amen? If you have a conviction over it. The worst thing, why? Because you can't do it in faith. And if you can't do it in faith, then you're sinning against God, even though the Bible never says a word about wearing Nikes. And at the same time, if I think it's okay to wear Nikes, I'm not supposed to judge you for not wanting to wear them. I am not supposed to be a stumbling block to you, though. So in other words, I shouldn't walk up to you and say, na-na-na-na-na-na. I shouldn't do that. Why? I'm being a stumbling block. If I try to belittle you in front of your friends because you don't wear Nikes, then you know what you may do? You may look around and say, well, boy, I don't want to be left out here, and I don't want to look stupid, so okay, fine, I'll just put the Nikes on. Bad. Because then you sin by doing it, and I sin by being a stumbling block. How many of you see that? That's what Romans 14 is telling us. What Paul is saying, listen, you're both right on this thing. If you say no, you're right. If you say yes, you can eat the meat, you're right. Now quit judging each other about it and keep on about your business. Amen? And Christians, folks, listen, we got to get this thing. Now, look at verse 13. He says, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So again, not supposed to rub it in their face. If they think that eating the meat is a sin, if they think eating a meat offered to idols is a sin, don't rub it in their face. Don't start up the grill and start cooking it and blowing it over there to them so they can smell it. I mean, don't be doing those things, okay? We're all different, and we all think different. We've all been given different convictions. And you say, well, how is it that we've been given different convictions? Why does that happen? Because quite frankly, there are some things in your Christian walk that you can't handle to do right now. It would not help you to grow if you did it. So the Lord gives you a conviction on those things. And there are other people that in that particular area can handle doing those things. And the Lord doesn't give them a conviction on that. How many of you understand that? Now here's where the problem is if I walk up to you and say, well, I guess I'm more spiritual in this area than you are because I feel it's okay to do this. And you're just weak in the faith. That's not what we're supposed to be doing, folks. You know what I should be doing? I should be edifying you. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, edifying the saints? So if I think that wearing Nikes is great, and you don't think wearing Nikes is great, I'm not supposed to make fun of you and say, well, I guess you're just weaker than me. We all like to think that. We all like to think that we're more spiritual than the other guy. But the truth of the matter is we're all pretty much even because in the different areas we're low and high and everything else. And so when a person has those Nikes, or a person doesn't believe in wearing those Nikes, what am I supposed to do? I'd say, okay, brother, you stick with those convictions, and you know, and if there's anything I could do to help you, I'll help you. And edify that brother rather than tearing him down for not having the same convictions as you. Amen? Therefore, he is saying that we are not to judge anymore, and we're to help each other out. Now look at verse 21. It is neither good to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. What does that mean? That means you're not supposed to sit there and flaunt it in front of the weaker brother. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned to eat, because he eateth not in faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you have conviction over something, where I don't have a conviction over it, I'm not to flaunt it in front of you, the liberty, and if I do it, I'm wrong, and you're not supposed to hate me for doing it, because if you hate me for doing it, then you're wrong too. Verse 19. Look back at verse 19. It says, let us therefore follow the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. That's what it's all about. Living peaceably with each other and edifying each other. It's not a competition who can get away with doing more than somebody else. It's not about I can do this and you can't, and making fun of you, or you looking at me and saying, I can't believe you're so unspiritual that you believe that this is okay when it's not okay, when the Bible never says one way or the other. It's not about a competition. It's not about judging. It's about living in peace, and it's about not judging each other, and it's about edifying one another. That's what it's all about. So, basically, here's the rule of thumb that the Romans 14 gives us. Unless something is doctrinally wrong, unless that Bible specifically tells you that it is a sin, here is the rule of thumb according to Romans chapter 14. If you have faith to do it, then do it. If you don't, then don't. Amen? I'm just going to tell you that, oh boy, this is going to get me in trouble, but one of the things I like to listen to is gospel bluegrass. I do. But there are some people that say, I don't want to listen to gospel bluegrass. Okay, then I'll turn down the radio when you get inside my truck. Why? Because as long as I can do it and glorify God with it, then it's okay for me to listen to it. And if you have a conviction and you say it's not okay, then I won't play it in front of you. You don't hate me, and I won't judge you. If you have faith to do it, then do it. If you don't, then don't. Number two, if you can bow your head over it and thank God for it with a clear conscience, then eat it. If you can't, don't. Makes sense, doesn't it? Number three, don't burden others with your convictions, and don't cause others to stumble with your liberty. Don't judge one another. Four, if you're uncomfortable over the liberty that you have in a certain area, don't look down on someone who does not feel as comfortable in that thing as you do. And then finally, number five, if you don't believe that you should do something, then don't judge the spirituality of those who do not hold your same conviction. At the end of the day, you don't know where somebody else is spiritually. Technically, you don't. You may see somebody who just got saved, and I think we can all understand he's a babe in Christ. But I tell you this, folks, we all, in some areas, are spiritually mature. But in other areas, we're babes. All of us are. Oh, I don't believe that, Pastor. Okay, man, next time you smash your thumb with a hammer, we'll see where you are in that area. Amen? Or the first time that something goes wrong, or something rubs you the wrong way, or somebody says something, you know, that Bible says we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know a lot of times where we're baby Christians at? In that grace area. Because we'll give grace as long as it's a small trespass. But if it's a big trespass, we just don't give grace anymore. Well, see, we're all babies in certain areas, and some of us matured in certain areas. We've got convictions in some areas, and we don't have convictions in some areas. But we're all to get together, we're all be at peace with one another, do what the Bible tells us to do, and edify one another. And that is the whole thing of Romans chapter 14. It is the chapter that tells you what to do when the Bible doesn't speak about a subject. Is it wrong? Is it right? It's a Romans 14 issue then. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's not a Romans 14 issue. If you're not saved here tonight, it tells you specifically in that Bible that ye must be saved. Ye must be born again. And it tells you point blank there, listen, there is no, it's not about a conviction here. Being saved has nothing to do with a conviction. If you don't believe the gospel, you will die in your sins and you will be in hell forever. And if you do believe the gospel, you get to go to heaven and you're saved forever. Amen? No convictions there. That's point blank. That's the way it is in the Bible. If you're not saved here tonight, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. If you have not received Jesus Christ tonight, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're a Christian here tonight and you have this problem of judging others and watching what other people do and look down upon them because they don't have the same convictions as you, I'm just going to tell you, folks, you need to stop the judging. Stop the judging. Run your own race. Now, if it's in the Bible and it says it's wrong, then feel free to go up and correct that brother in a loving, loving way with tact. But if the Bible never says one way or the other, you know what you should do? Pray for that brother, edify that brother, and move on and run your own race. Keep your faith to yourself. And that brother will grow. Maybe one of these days he won't have that conviction anymore. But he does right now, and you got to support that brother. And the brother who has the conviction ought to love you whether you do what he believes is wrong or not. Amen? That's Romans chapter 14. So where are you tonight? Are you judging others? Are you running your own race? We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's stand.